Hey, Katie.
Yeah?
Want to make a podcast?
Sure. Can we talk about outrageously dark and scary things like murder and aliens?
Yeah. And is it cool if we talk about beautiful things like divination and astrology?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hi, we're Katie and Kelly, hosts of the podcast, All Things Outrageously Dark, Scary, Beautiful, and Totally True.
We recognize there's a lot of podcasts out there, but what sets us apart is our professionalism and dedication to our research.
New episodes every Wednesday. Tune in, and of course,
have the day you deserve.
Hey, friends, spiritual Barbies, spiritual kings. This is Gabrielle, one half of the Spiritual Sisters podcast. Welcome.
What's that noise?
It's the dog. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to lay down right now. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm not in my normal environment. So
we keep just all the things. Telling her to come out of the closet. It's okay. We'll love her. But there she is. Just still there.
In a closet. No, but okay. I'm going to get into that in my check-in. But tell the people who you are. What's going on?
They know who I am. I'm Nicole. I'm the funny one.
She is the funny one. I'll give you that. It funnier though between you and Brianna. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's going on? Tell me all the things.
Well, today's been a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. Gosh, I don't even know where to start. Okay, guys, let's see. Update. We're in round 3 of IVF. All the injections, well, they started already, but the bulk of them come in a few hours as soon as we're done recording. So wish me luck on that again. Retrieval will probably be in a few weeks. So when this comes out, I'll still be getting all the injections. And I'm on spring break, my first spring break at my new job. So I'm out of work for a week and I'm still getting paid. It's like crazy. Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah, we went on a nice family hike today. We have some activities planned for the week that we're all off together. So we're going to take my son to a few places. And I feel like those are the big things. What about you? In your closet.
Currently, I'm in my closet. I'm house sitting for Savannah right now in San Diego. I am currently just living the life in downtown, and I don't know if I've told you this yet, Nicole, but I'm having just the most interesting experience living above ground in like a skyrise setting.
Oh, yeah.
And I texted you and our other girlfriend, or I texted our other girlfriend, I'm telling you now, I was like, something's off. What is this? It felt like it was my stomach, but it was not like digestion. Like, I'm not having issues going to the bathroom, but I was like, oh my gosh, it's solar plexus, right? So I just felt super ungrounded. But it's because I'm like quite literally living not on ground. So at the beginning of February, I took care of Brianna's dogs up in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So I was house sitting there, and Brianna lives on land and is surrounded by trees. And so it's a really pretty environment. And I felt grounded, and there's such a difference in environments. But all this to say, I'm in San Diego. It's eclipse season. Mercury retrograde is about to start. I feel like I'm in a cosmic portal, and I posted that on my stories yesterday, and I literally got like 4 responses, and they're like, yep. I felt the exact same way when I'm in San Diego in that area.
Wait, we're not in Mercury retrograde yet?
No, we are.
Oh.
At time, we're in the shadow, and then when this drops, it will be retrograde.
I don't know. Okay. Did he or didn't he?
Did
he do that. It? Did he done did it?
The FBI will not come for you that hard.
I heard it was
if they do not have a reason.
Was it the DEA too? Or the no. What's the other one? Oh, was it the DEA? Some of those letters, like they came. They had a okay. lot of information.
What do you think? Because our friends at Beyond the Shadows, they did a whole bomb pod episode on that, and I think that there's some validity to it, because why else would that happen?
Cat Williams did an interview on the Shay Shay Club on YouTube, and I just watched it. And he didn't really address Diddy too much, but he did drop his name a couple times. And he said he doesn't like to party with Diddy because he wanted to keep his asshole a virgin. So he's like, I'm trying to keep this virgin asshole, and Diddy likes to party. I had to say no to Diddy. Anyway, it was a long interview, but it was great. Cat Williams went after everybody. He went after Kevin Hart, Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer. Just
wow.
He went after everybody. It's really good. Highly recommend.
Have you seen 50 Cent's posts on Instagram?
Oh, so good. 50 goes hard after Diddy all the time. It's really funny. It's really entertaining.
What do you think about the Billionaire Club with like Diddy and Jay-Z and all of them being associated with?
I think they're all shady as fuck.
In some capacity.
Okay, so in that episode, Cat Williams also talked about the Illuminati. So anyways, you should check it out.
Do you think the Illuminati is real?
According to Cat Williams, it is.
Do you listen to Call Her Daddy?
No.
Okay, so Megan Fox just did an episode. She was a guest on that podcast with Alex Cooper, and she was talking. She's so spiritual. That's why she's like one of the dream guests in Delululand for us to ever have on. And she was like, she's like, I don't know if the Illuminati is real, but I would imagine if it is, I would have gotten an invite by now. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So
no, they wouldn't want her. Not in a bad way. I think she's too... Yeah, I think she's too spiritually inclined that she's not their target demographic.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the Billionaires Club, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about money, honey.
Money, honey. Okay, what are we talking about money for? Why?
Because...
You've been wanting to do this for a while.
I did, and you weren't as excited about it as I thought you may have been, just doing like all the manifestation and subconscious work that you've been doing. So I was really surprised by that.
So here's why.
Want to lean into that?
Yeah, because right now I don't have the money that I'm calling in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a poser talking about money when I don't have the money. That's why I was not wanting to speak to it. Yeah.
Do you have... Okay, so I had thought about that because we did have the podcast before the podcast, which is, for those of you that are new to this show, it is the conversations that me and Nicole have on the phone for about an hour before we actually start recording about all the things and none of the things at the same time, which is why we started a podcast. And I was prompted the thought of like Catherine Zinkina, right? Manifestation Babe. And how maybe she would have, or how she did feel when she didn't have the money that she has now when she was building her business and calling this in, and maybe her thought processes, but she still continued to talk about it, you know?
I think I can speak to some of that because I've listened to her story several times.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to speak to it now?
Well, we'll just get going. Yeah, why not?
Before we talk about Catherine Zinkina's, maybe her ideas on money, which we're going to have her on the show one day. I'm just putting that out there. It's going to happen.
Well, you're currently, what did you just say before we started recording, Nicole?
What did I say?
That you're my pimp?
Oh, yeah, I'm your pimp.
Yeah. So just give it a couple of months, maybe one year or two, she's going to come on.
I'm whoring Gabby out, so I don't get a cut of anything yet. But anyway, I'm the pimp.
I would, though. You totally would. If it were there, I would. Yeah.
Before, maybe, let's jump back to January of 2023. Okay.
Okay.
Would you have said then that money was good, that it was evil, that it was bad? Like, what would have been your thoughts on money back then?
I think I only just recently started, and it was through Catherine and then like you working within her program and listening to her podcast, that I even associated a sense of either of those to money. So for me, but I mean, if I had to say, I would probably see it as a little bit more me thinking that it was negative before having the understanding and knowledge that I have now.
And why do you think you might have had that view of it being not great or...
Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
Are you into weird shit? Yeah?
You into cryptids?
What about hauntings? Yeah, I've got a ghost for you.
Oh, you like overworld the beings.
Me too. Check out all these aliens. We have plenty. How do you feel about a good legend?
Want to hear about spooky happenings?
Yeah, you do.
Let us show you what we've got.
Hey guys, grab a drink and join us, Amanda and Sean, every week while we dive into the strange and haunting topics that have piqued our interest.
See you over at The Haunted and the Strange, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay spooky.
That's like a loaded question. I think because, well, do you believe in the saying that money is the root cause of all evil or something to that effect?
Do I believe it? No. Do I hear it all the time? Yes.
I think maybe me not believing it before, but like having that thought is probably like what was in my awareness and how it, why I would have probably associated it as more negative than positive.
So one of the things that has come up in my learnings through MBA and my learnings through listening to the Manifestation Babe podcast in just everything that I've done as far as learning about the energetics of money and just learning more about money in general is, and all of this is going to come straight from her because that's the one person that really speaks to it that I really resonate with. So money is a tool. Money is neither good or bad, right? One of the analogies she gives is a knife is just a tool. A knife is going to help you chop vegetables. A knife is going to help you be able to chop meat and prepare a beautiful dinner for your family and your loved ones if you were trying to do that, right? A knife can also be used to stab somebody. So,
yeah,
when a knife is being used to prepare this beautiful dinner, when people are receiving this dinner, are they saying, oh, wow, this knife did such a good job of making this dinner? Or is it, wow, Gabs, you did a really good job making this dinner. It's so delicious, right? They're focusing on the person. The knife was just a tool. If somebody stabs somebody, the knife isn't put on trial. The person that did the stabbing is put on trial. So money just enhances the state that a person already is naturally. So if you're a shitty person and you get a lot of money, you're just going to be a shitty person with a lot of money and you're going to do shitty things with that money. Like Diddy allegedly, right? Like Jerry Epstein allegedly. Or what's his name? Oh, Jeffrey Epstein?
Jeffrey.
Allegedly?
Yeah.
Well, he's allegedly. Dead. He's not going to sue us. Let's see. Who else? People with a lot of money are just going to, if you're already an inherently bad person, you're just going to do more bad things. If you're an inherently good person, the money is just going to help amplify the goodness that you are already going to be putting out in the world with what you have. Is it Jeff Bezos' ex-wife who donates just...
Yes.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars to charity. So for her, she's most likely an inherently really great person. And so the money that she has allows her to bless other people. And that's one of the things that Catherine has also talked about, how for her, she has a lot of money and she's able to spoil those around her. She's able to take her families on trips. She's able to pay for these certain things. She's able to donate this money to do whatever the things are that she wants to do because that's what she's using money for. If she was a shitty person, she wouldn't use the money for that reason. She wouldn't try to bless other people. She wouldn't try to bless family members. So going back to maybe how she was feeling when she didn't have the money. So she talks about this 1-year experiment that she did where she was saying, okay, I'm going to go all in on manifestation and I'm going to go all in manifesting money and manifesting my dream vision. And so she put herself in that frequency every day of, okay, I am this, I am that. And so for her, it wasn't, well, I don't have this yet. It was, well, I'm going to have it. I'm working my way to it. And so I guess it's something that we could be doing, that I could be doing, right? I'm trying to call in X amount of money. And for right now, it's not even a number. It's more of like the feeling, like I'm trying to call in the feeling that I think money is going to give me. And for everybody, that's going to be different. But for me, it's the feeling of security, right? I think money is going to give me security and safety. And that's how I think I'm going to feel when I have the money. So I might be trying to call in this money, but the way you're also speaking about it needs to shift. So instead of saying, oh gosh, you know, one day I really want to have $1 million in the bank, or one day I hope I can whatever, right? For me, and my husband looks at me sometimes and rolls his eyes. I'm like, well, yeah, like when we're rich. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, stupid thumbs. We got to turn those off. Brianna told us how to do that. When we're millionaires, we're totally going to do that. We're going to fly business class all the time. It just is going to be what it, you know, it just is what it is. So it's changing the language around money. There's a lot of language that is used around money, and it's language that we have been conditioned to use, conditioned to believe because of what we hear that goes on around us. And that has been the biggest eye-opener.
I'm so glad that we touched immediately on the language around money, because as I was reading the blog post that you shared with me from Miss Catherine Zankina herself, which is funny, I had read it the morning and then you sent it to me later on that day. And it explicitly speaks to using language and how you describe money and your relationship with it. And one of the examples that she gave was, I can't afford that. I noticed of myself, I never say that. And I don't know what it's associated with within myself, like which solar plexus, and it's probably solar plexus, but I'm actually really, and this isn't even like a brag or anything, but I'm glad I don't say that, because that's more of a negative way of describing relationship with money.
Well, because I don't think you ever heard that. Because
oh my God, what are you gonna say? I was gonna say, what shit are you about to talk?
I was just gonna say, because mom just buys, she's always done that. She just always buys whatever the fuck she wants, whether she could afford it or not. Like, she was just gonna all figure it out at some point. She never used that language of, we can't afford this, we can't afford that. If you wanted it, right? She was like Ariana Grande, like, I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it. I think that was her. So you guys never heard it, really.
Mom has such a good relationship with it, though. She does.
She's a good relationship spending it. Same.
I'm such a hybrid of mom and dad, to be honest, because, and I wanted to also talk about, okay, on the flip side, you have the other parent, because a lot of these ideologies are picked up by way of childhood and your parents' relationship to money. But also, generationally, there is a difference. And also, there is inherently a difference amongst how men view money and how women.
I live with a man that is just like dad in that way. I'm married to him.
Well, it's because your husband's a cap sun and dad's a cap moon. But I wanted to say that mom's relationship with money is so fascinating to observe, because sure, she spends it maybe as quickly as she gets it, but she's very resourceful and it always comes back to her, especially when she gifts it to other people that are complete strangers. Like, I've used this example on the podcast before, where it was during a time of COVID and there were two immigrant workers trying to get their fare covered. They weren't even asking for that. They were just trying to find a way to get to Oregon to work up there in the fields. And she like came across them right outside the Dollar Tree in town, and she had just been asked by a relative that has the money and should not have been asking her for that amount of money. And she was like, no, like, you know,
you
like,
never even told me who that was. Sense. Text me and tell me who it was because I need to know.
Oh, I will. Oh, really? I'm surprised it didn't. I wasn't in the podcast before the podcast. Nope. So she ends up going back home and she was just really like thoughtful of that experience. And so she goes back and she ends up giving them that exact amount of money that they needed. It was two people that she covered their fare for to get to Oregon. And not even like a week later, Nicole, she gets that money doubled back to her. And I was like, oh my God, it's such a thing. Mm-hmm.
I give away a lot of money too, but I've never done it to try to get it back or I don't know, but I've never gotten it back yet.
Yet. Mm-hmm. We like that. Yeah.
It's still making its way back to me. I like to think.
Okay. Generationally or the differences between men and women, where do you want to start?
Generationally.
Okay. Well, our dad's a boomer. I don't even know what mom is because they're 9 years apart. She's not, but I don't know what comes after boomers.
I don't know.
Someone fact check us. I will also say, guys, our parents were immigrants to this country and came from not much. So it's very impressive.
Dad's not going to resonate with that story.
What do you mean?
Because he's American.
Anyway. We'll leave it there, guys. We're not going to go into that. This is a neutral podcast for the most part. Spiritual only. Spiritual stuff only. Anyways,
Gen X.
So, yeah. Oh, it's Gen X. Okay, so mom's a Gen X. They had to work really hard for their money. And I think when you work really hard for it, you develop a certain type of relationship. Like, oh, like earning money is hard. So, therefore, because it's so hard and I have to exchange my time for money, I'm going to be a little bit more conservative with it versus
mom's a boomer.
Maybe have.
I just did the math.
Mom's a boomer?
She's a boomer, yeah.
She's probably a younger boomer.
Yeah, she's at the right around the cutoff age.
The cusp. Okay. So we have maybe the examples of those that have maybe a more feminine relationship with money, that it comes maybe a little bit more easily to them. But also, is money even masculine or feminine, or is it neutral? Because we were talking about evil and good, not masculine and feminine.
So initially, what I had heard and how it was explained was that money was feminine.
Yeah.
However, same. I recently heard, I think it was this week, that so if you notice, there's an uptick of women kind of being the breadwinners and out earning the husbands and wanting to retire their husbands and just being the breadwinners. Like that traditional role has now kind of passed on to the women. And so the thought is, maybe money is actually very masculine. But the reason that women are able to receive it is because women are inherently more feminine. And so they're attracting the masculine energy of the money. And that's why it's just kind of being poured in to women more so lately. So I thought that was an interesting take.
I think that's also interesting because there's the statistics. I think it was on Elvest or Girl Boss on one of those Instagram accounts where it spoke to how households that have women managing the finances are successful, more financially abundant than those that are not.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't manage the money. Not even my own. I manage it, but I'm more of a mismanager right now. Trying to work on that. I like to spend.
Is it because of the dopamine hit in the brain? Is that what it is? It's dopamine, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love to spend. Another thing that's come up with money is how do I receive more money? And I was listening to a podcast this week, and I'm not going to name who it was, but they were talking about how, I think all the time, I want to be a millionaire and I'm still not a millionaire, so I must not be good at this manifestation thing. It was something along those lines. And it's not enough to just say, I want to be a millionaire or I want to have this much money. you have to really, really, really take a look at what your limiting beliefs are around money. And everybody has so many limiting beliefs, period. But there are a lot of limiting beliefs around money that oftentimes were passed down to us, maybe either generationally. It could be a past life trauma that we have that is being carried over into this one. It could have been something that we also witnessed, you know, by our parents or our caregivers or whoever the adults were in our lives. So some examples maybe of some limiting beliefs around money might be, I don't know what to do with the money if I have it. I'm going to blow all of the money if I get it. I'm afraid to invest my money. I don't know how to save money. I'm bad with money. Oh gosh, what are some other ones? Another big one might be, if I get a lot of money, people are going to expect things from me. If I get a lot of money, people aren't going to like me anymore. Right. So think about someone who maybe came from poverty, and that's still a lot of the connections that they hold in their adult life. And they think, well, these people aren't going to like me anymore. They're going to think I'm a sellout, or they're going to think that I think that I'm better. Right. So, I mean, there's so many. Those are just kind of some of the ones like off the top of my head. I'm not going to know what to do with it. Or if I get a lot of money, it's not going to last. I have to work really hard to make a lot of money. That's another limiting belief. Money is hard to earn. So many different ones.
I think that's so interesting, because I think it was on a podcast that I don't think it was Catherine's that I was listening to, where the example of celebrities came up and people that have, you know, a large amount of resources to work with in the financial sense. And one of the facts that they pointed out on an energetic level is that they're actually calling in that money. Like, they say, I want this money. They desire it. They put that out there and they attract that to themselves. So I really loved that, because that was kind of like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. And then I almost wonder what the energetics behind it is as well. And I'd be curious as to what your thought is on this, Nicole, about like energetically holding the value of that much money. You know what I mean?
Right. So you've heard of like the lottery curse, right? Where people win the lottery and they are broke in a year or two because energetically they're not a match to the frequency of that money. Their nervous system can't hold that frequency. And it's like they're in like panic mode, right? I don't know what to do with this money, or what am I going to do? What if I lose it all? How do I invest it? What, you know, so there's so many questions and there's so much uncertainty going on that they end up blowing it. And it doesn't happen 100% of the time, but it happens more often than not, right? Where it's just, oh, well, they had a bunch of money and then they lost it because they don't know how to be a match to that money. They were able to get it, but they don't know how to hold it.
Yeah, that is such a thing. And I almost wonder too, if like it's, if it's while you're in the manifesting stage of calling in said amount of money to you, if it's worthwhile to have a masculine structure in place of like, okay, I desire this amount of money. I want this amount of money. And this is what I'm going to do with it, so that you can put yourself in an energetic space to hold that. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I think that kind of goes back to like the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, because consciously you can tell yourself that, oh, this is what I'm going to do with the money, right? Mm-hmm. But if subconsciously you don't believe that you can actually do that with the money, it doesn't matter, right? It kind of goes back to willpower. Like, not everybody has willpower, and a lot of that has to do with human design. Some people have centers that are specific to actually having willpower, and the rest of us don't. So you can think all you want, oh yeah, I'm totally going to do this. But subconsciously your mind's like, nope, we're not going to do that. That's scary. You might think, oh, I'm going to invest this money. But subconsciously, if you have that limiting belief of I'm scared to invest, or I don't know how to invest, you're not going to do it. Like, the chances of you doing it are really slim. So you have to get your subconscious mind on board so that it matches up with that conscious thought of, this is what I'm going to do, for it to happen. At least that's my thought.
What have been some of your observations as to how some people manifest their relationship with money and how that also is a reflection of their relationship with money?
So I think a lot of it has to do with what we saw in childhood. If we saw our parents not managing money well, if we heard our parents saying things like money doesn't grow on trees, or we can't afford that, right? We were talking about that earlier, something like that.
Yeah.
That we remember and we hold on to that. And we don't realize how much that sticks with us. If you are constantly thinking I'm broke, and it was something I was thinking about, I think probably yesterday when we decided to talk about this, how I remember always thinking I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. And I was always broke, even though I made decent money. And I had to stop.
Oh, wait, when you were at the county?
Yeah, just like, I'm broke, I'm broke, mm-hmm. I'm broke. Always talking like I'm broke. Well, of course I'm going to be broke because I'm thinking like a broke person, right? And mm-hmm. Because I think I'm broke, or I tell myself I'm broke, I'm acting like a broke person, making decisions like a broke person would.
Yeah.
As you start to notice, you start to really see the people around you and their relationship with money, that they don't even realize, that they have a shitty relationship with money, because it's just something that is just so a part of who we are and what we saw. Another really big thing that I have been thinking of, and that's kind of come to my awareness, is so we sometimes like want to hoard money, right? We want to hold on to that money for as long as we can. We want to hoard it. We don't want to spend it because we don't maybe believe that this money is going to come back to us, right? Yeah. When has money not ever come to you? When has money not ever? You can be on welfare and you might not have a lot of money, but at the end of the month or at the beginning of the next month, your EBT card is going to be filled up. You're going to have your cachet. Like, money always comes back to you, like, no matter what.
That's such a good thought. Oh my gosh, you sparked so many ideas. It's almost kind of like, what are you, this might be a little bit controversial, edit it out if it's not something we should include. But so the people that work the system that continue to want to be on EBT because they know it's going to be replenished every month because they are supported. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the energy of that?
They're stuck in that frequency because that's probably what they witnessed growing up, or that's what they were conditioned to believe. My experience when I did work with that population is that like 90% of the people that I worked with didn't want to be receiving the benefits. 90% of the people really wanted to have a job, to be making good money, and to not be reliant on the system, which was, you know, was so nice to see, because oftentimes we focus so much on the people that are abusing the system, but I really saw it backwards, that no, like, there's very few people that abuse it. It's just, you know, it gives a bad rap. But anyway, back to what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. We want to hoard this money. We want to hold on to this money. So we might not want to pay our debts, right? We don't want to pay this company, this credit card. No. We don't want to pay this person back, right? You've gotten burned in the past, that, you know, from out of the kindness of your heart, someone asked you, you said yes, and you got burned. And so that's operating on a lower frequency. Money's not going to want to come and bless you. Like, the abundance isn't going to come to you if you're not willing to pay the debts that you owe, whether it's to companies or whether it's to people. So that's not going to help you be financially abundant.
Yeah. Well, I have thoughts on that, because I also read, no, this was on a podcast. I heard this on the podcast. I don't remember which one. But when you are in extreme amounts of debt, or just heavy debt in general, that's a little bit over your head, you are blocking yourself from receiving additional money because of the frequency that you're in. And that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay your debts. And that's such a scary thing, because it's like, well, I only have $1,000 and I need to pay $600 worth of debt this month. And that's only going to leave me with $400 in play money. So, you know what? I'm just not going to pay it. You're never going to have that abundance that you seek. Allegedly, this is what I'm hearing.
I think there's so many different ways that you could go with that. And you know what I was also wanting to point out on this? So your girl, I'm playing with the energy of actually being in San Diego, right? Mm-hmm. And just like exploring how different places that I know align with my astrocartography work for me. So I have noticed when I invest in myself and invest in my business, I'm always like, oh my God, like, is this too much? Is this extreme? Like, am I? And I always text Nicole, I'm like, Nicole, is this program aligned? What are your thoughts on this from your intuitive perspective, right? Mm-hmm. But literally, like, it's reflected back to me immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll get like one or two readings, and I was like, Nicole, like, I just read for an influencer. I had no idea who she was, you know? So I definitely feel like, in that regard, you're 100% working with the energy of it. Mm-hmm. It is neutral. You ask for it. It's going to show up. Don't fuck the how. Like, it's, don't worry about the how. That's not your job or responsibility. Right. The universe will figure that out. Granted, you do have to take some action steps to get there. But there's for me, that feels a little bit more femme than it does masculine, mm-hmm. just like trusting that it is going to be reflected back. But I'm just so fascinated by that aspect of the energetics of money.
By it being, sorry, but by what part of it?
I'm fascinated with the concept of it being more femme. Like, oh, like, I'm going to spend this. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, like, how am I going to get it back? And then all of a sudden, like, you release, you surrender. There's a surrender element to it because surrender is femme. And then, you know, within like 2 hours, like, I got two readings. Like, I just booked a podcast. You know what I mean? It's just.
Well, that was kind of why, though, that they were saying that money actually might be more masculine. And because you're in your feminine and doing that surrendering, the masculine, mm-hmm. because of the polarity, right? The masculine is like wanting to come to you.
Do you feel like men who are in more of their feminine tend to have more of an issue with money and their relationship to it?
Oh.
Uh-huh. Because I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, well, there's men and women, but some men are more in their femme than they are in their masculine. And their relationship to money, at least through my observations, has been a little bit different. So for example, we are surrounded by some men. There's not anyone in particular that I'm speaking to that we've talked about on the podcast. But they are a little bit more in their femme in their sense that they want to be taken care of. I'm like, she knows what I'm talking about. So their relationship to money is interesting, right? Even though they're very much an alpha male. And I would almost think like, okay, well, when I'm in my masculine, like, and I remember Chelsea reading for me for my birthday reading, go check that episode out, guys. I think it's episode 12. But she was like, you know, money's neutral. If you're going to work really hard for it, and this was coming up energetically for me, then it's going to have to work that much harder for you versus like, if it's, you make it easy, then it's just going to be reflected back. And I was like, that's so true. Because last year I was just grinding to get the systems in place for the business. But I will say when I did surrender, like the first 2 months of this year, I was busier than I wanted to be. And that energetically I could sustain after the year that I had had.
But see, that's a very like masculine place to be in, to just hustle, hustle, hustle. So,
And then also based on hormonal cycles for women and then the 9-to-5, how the 9-to-5 is structured for men, whereas women are on the certain cycle with the moon in their periods. It's just the work is not aligned for women.
No, we should all be more, housewives. Duh.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
So nice.
I mean, I think we would kind of, I don't know. Would I hate it? I don't know.
You would love it. No, you would hate it. But you'd find something to do.
I probably would. Mom was like, what would you do if you won the lotto or whatever, right? And I was like, I've never been asked that question. And two, I would probably still work on my business in some capacity. Because what would I do with my time?
So ask yourself, do I believe that I can win the lotto? And what's your immediate answer?
Yes.
Yes is your immediate answer?
That I could win the lotto? Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you?
No, because I don't play it.
Oh.
So for me, like playing the lotto is almost pointless because I don't even believe, like I don't believe that I could win the lotto because I don't play it. And part of me doesn't even know if I want to win the lotto because of the lotto curse.
So you believe that the lotto curse is real?
I mean, it's happened so many times. Like people literally lose their money.
What do you think about the concept of self-worth and that in relation to how much money you do or don't have?
So I think there's a polarity there because I think sometimes people wear poverty as a badge of honor.
Oh, yeah.
And
that is like victim mentality?
Not victim mentality, but it's like, oh, yeah, well, I grew up poor. I grew up, eating government cheese, whatever, right? I don't know, like they wear it as like a badge of honor, right? I came from the hood and that's like, I'm going to stay true to who I am. And so like, it's a thing, right? You're laughing because it's
No.
It's a thing.
I'm laughing.
Because we hear it all the time, right?
No, I'm laughing because.
What?
I sent you guys the reel yesterday. I just like, I don't know what the algorithm did on my Instagram account, but it was all that shit being talked about Diddy and the Jay-Z circle and the Fitty parties and stuff. How it just the comments, man, the comments section.
Oh, I didn't read it.
Talking shit about. Oh, okay. Well, it was speaking to the effect of the badge of honor.
Yeah.
That, you know, they have worn in the past that maybe they're not representing now because they have a different level of abundance and resources than most others do. Right. But it's true. Like that it is a thing. People will wear that as part of their identity, badge of honor. Mm-hmm. It's associated to their self-worth, how much they have of it, how much they don't, them feeling inferior or better than another person because of that level of resources that they do or don't have.
Or people use that as a way to say, well, I came from that. So I don't want to have a lot of money, right? Even though, like, I'm sorry. Who doesn't want a lot of money? Like, I would say 90% of the population, if they were being very honest with themselves, is probably going to say, yeah, I want a lot of money because I want to live this kind of lifestyle. And again, a lot of money is going to differ for a lot of people. For some people, $100,000 a year is a lot of money. For someone else, $10 million a year is a lot of money, right? So the amount is subjective. It doesn't have to have a number on it. But people want money because money allows us to live a certain way. Money allows us to buy food. Money allows us to have a roof over our head. Money allows us to put clothes on our back. If you're going to tell me that you don't care about having a roof over your head, you don't care about having clothes on your back, you don't care about having food in your stomach, like I'm probably going to want to do an assessment on you and figure out like what is really happening there. But
yeah, no, it's so true.
Yeah. So a lot of times I think people wear that like poverty mentality and I came from poverty as one, a badge of honor, and two, as a way of like using that as a cop out for why they're not going to get out of it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
On the flip side, there's other people that wear their wealth as a badge of honor, even if they didn't earn it themselves, right? Even if it was just passed down to them and it's just been in their family forever, right? There's also a badge of honor to having that kind of wealth. So I think it can go either way where it's like, oh, I'm proud to be poor or I'm proud being rich.
What do you think? And this feels like, I know my thought came to mind, not necessarily like with respect to how much I have or haven't made within my business, but what do you think about the energetics of money and how much is reflected back to you within a job, whether or not you work for someone else or work for yourself? Because I was thinking, this is where I'm coming from, when I transitioned from corporate to where I'm at now, I remember saying, I need this, this, and this. And if I can have this amount of money associated with this job and opportunity that's going to provide me the flexibility to build what I'm doing, I'll take it. And then, you know, on the side, I'm doing my own thing. And I think about it, I'm like, what can be said about how much I'm making within my business that speaks to the energy of how much I am or I'm not making?
I think that kind of goes back to the question about self-worth. Like you think that you're worth whatever you're bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't maybe know what that number exactly is. But the number that's coming into you is the number that you feel worthy of right now.
For me, because I was thinking about this episode, right? I was thinking about this as a concept, the neutrality of it. And I don't think my self-worth is associated with how much I do or don't have. my self-worth, because I've done a lot of work. I mean, I'm focusing. And I mean, we're working on the solar plexus. That one's never fully healed is what I've learned. But my self-worth is associated with my work ethic and what I produce.
What you produce because it because
I'm building, not financially.
Right. But what you produce is what brings finances into your life also. It's still connected. Mm-hmm. So you're putting out this type of work. Well, what are you receiving for that work in return, right? Whether you're working for yourself or you're working for someone else, I'm going to do a really good job at this job that I'm working for somebody else because maybe I can get a raise or because maybe whatever, or I'm earning this type of money. So I feel that this type of money that I'm earning requires me to have this level of output in my work, this quality of output in my work. And now when you're working for yourself also, well, you're doing both, right? You're working for someone and you're working for yourself. So I think it's also what am I worthy of?
And that's actually something that was a download for me to look at within my business is because I wasn't attached to, or at least I don't think I was, with how much I'm making, because I haven't set a price as to how much I want to call in for 2024. But there's something there that I need to connect with. And hopefully like our listeners can relate to this as well with what am I attaching that value to? Is it the financial outcome? Is it to what I'm building? Is it the value that I'm putting birthing into the world? So many thoughts are coming up as you're expressing that. So thanks for that little nugget.
You're welcome.
So, I mean, you kind of spoke to this at the beginning because our perspectives on covering this topic were different, mm-hmm. but how would you describe your relationship to money? And I can answer as well.
I would describe my relationship with money as improving. We're dating. Ooh. And we're seeing how we feel about each other right now.
Yay.
Seeing if we're into each other. And yeah, I would say I don't think I realized how many limiting beliefs I had around money, how deep the money wounds were, because it wasn't something that I really had the concept or idea of that it could be different, right? It was just, oh, this is what I saw growing up. This is what I knew as a child. So this is what I've carried with me as an adult, right? It's everybody, you know, it's like, oh, well, you get a job to make enough money and to do these things, right? It's like, it's very, it almost like peaks, right? So everybody has a certain peak. So for me, my peak was, okay, well, I'm going to make just enough money to be able to pay my bills and to live a comfortable life, right? And that was good enough. But it was good enough because it was still better than what I had growing up. So it's like, okay, this is a step up. But then I started thinking, well, that's really like limiting me. I actually want to have a lot of money. I actually want to have more than enough money. I don't want to just be comfortable. I want to be living a life of luxury and I'm figuring that shit out. So anyways, we're dating. I'll let you know how it's going in a few months. Can you pull a card for me? Tell me if they like me back.
Are we wrapping up?
No.
Oh, I was like, wait, are we doing
Can you tell me if money likes me back? Thanks.
Yeah, I can actually.
I would say my relationship to it is fairly healthy. Dad's always saying, money's so good to you. And I was like, thanks. I haven't really analyzed the energetics behind it, but I do feel like when it does come up for me where I feel like I don't have enough or I don't feel safe, it's directly related to my Chiron, which is my inner child. So it's like a safety thing, which makes no sense because it's always coming back to me and it's always being reflected like we've talked about. So I have to sit with it. Although I will say, like, I would think it's for the most part fairly healthy. I will also actually have a question for you. What do you think about those that incarnate within their lineage specifically to heal the money wound? Because I have seen that. I don't know if you and I have talked about it, but I have seen maybe I've had like 3 to 5 of my sitters where one of their main purpose in this lifetime is to quite literally incarnate so they can heal the family's energetic relationship to money.
I have no thoughts on that. I don't know enough about it to speak on it.
I think it's really interesting because oftentimes what I do when I do see it, it's usually within families that come from poverty. And typically they are either Latino, African-American, and usually of a minority population.
Mm, that makes sense. Another thing I want to say though, that just kind of came to me when you were asking about self-worth is one of the things that Catherine talks about is money doesn't care if you're worthy or not. So that's where a lot of people, I think, get stuck, where they think, I'm not worthy of this, I'm not worthy of that. Like, money doesn't care. Money is just, right, because money is just there. It's, do you want me or not, right? I don't care if you're good or bad. That's why some really amazing people have a lot of money and some really shitty people have a lot of money.
Why do you think some really shitty people? Oh, because money doesn't care.
Because money doesn't care. And those people don't have those limiting beliefs of, I'm not worthy of this money, or this money can't come to me, I have to work really hard. The difference, the difference is between poor people and wealthy people is that poor people are always trying to figure out how to work for money. How do I make more money? How do I earn more? How do I do this? How do I do that? And wealthy people are thinking, well, how am I going to make my money work for me? So two very, very different ways of looking at money.
What do you think about capitalism?
What about it? I don't know. It's just, oh God, that's my fucking husband's answer to everything. Capitalism. Capitalism. Just drives me crazy. Yeah. I don't know. I have no thoughts.
Yeah. I just popped in. I was like, capitalism. So
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of having money if you're not going to spend the money? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, capitalism gets such a bad rap because it's like, oh, well, everything is going back and everybody has to spend money. Right. People want to earn money and people want to spend money. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's kind of, that's what it is. Do you want to earn more money?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Do you want to spend more money? Yeah.
I think I mentioned this on the rituals. I'm pretty sure I did. When I spend money or when I receive money, I bless it. And I'm like, may this be multiplied 10 times over and then some. So, yeah. And reflected back to me.
I thank the universe all the time now for money, even if it's a dollar. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for this dollar. When I found $10 on the floor the other day and I was like, oh, look at
it. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, look at it. I was just going to say. And my son's like, oh, it's mine. Okay, well, I still thank the universe for it. It didn't come to me, but it, you know, went to him.
I was just thinking of the text message I sent to the family text and then I posted as a story on my Instagram about how I literally asked my guides for a sign. And the ask was, I want to find money on the floor, and then I ended up finding $4. I was so excited.
Yeah.
I think we were actually on the phone.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I just found money.
On my daily walk. It was great. It was in front of a church of all places.
Probably fell out of the collection basket.
Oh yeah. Actually, it might have been for that.
Yeah. You stole from the church. Now you're going to hell.
It's fine. It's the largest cult in the world. It's fine. They have enough money.
Anyway, any other thoughts about money?
Abundance is a birthright and is one of the universal laws, and it's neutral. And I highly recommend improving your relationship with it because you can't lose.
If you guys are going to take anything from this episode, I would say the biggest takeaway is to pay attention to the language that you use about money, whether it's to yourself. Mm-hmm. Or out loud or to another person, right? Money's dirty, right? How many times do we hear money's dirty? Money's so gross. It's so dirty. There's so many germs. Well, do you think money's going to want to be around you if you're always calling it dirty and you're always feeling the need to wash your hands after you touch money or thinking about the cocaine that might be left on that dollar bill? Like, you know, like people are always commenting, what?
No, I was just thinking about like strippers and cocaine in Vegas and fucking crazy stories that I've heard.
You know,
and
those strippers are picking up those dollar bills without any clothes on, you know, whatever. So do you think money is going to want to be around you if you're constantly putting it down? Do you want to be around somebody who's always calling you dirty? Probably not. Think about the language. Pay attention to the language that you're using. Are you saying that things are too expensive? Are you saying that I can't afford that? Are you telling your kids money doesn't grow on trees? Are you telling your kids we're poor or that's for rich people? Right? Just really pay attention to the way you think about it and the way you speak about it, and try to understand where that's coming from. Is that something that you picked up from childhood? Is that something that you might have brought from a past life? It could be from any period of time. It doesn't have to always be this lifetime. So really pay attention to the language that you're using, and try to switch it up if you can. Try to speak more neutrally, more positively about money.
Yes.
Yeah. Some of the examples were, like Gabby said, and again, like Catherine always talks about, not using the word expensive, like, oh, that's too expensive. And so she likes to say that something's premiumly priced. And so I've been trying to really move away from the words expensive also and refer to things as premium.
I oftentimes catch myself saying that about food, like the cost of food at this point in time in the world. And yeah, I catch myself. I'm like, nope, not going to say that because it sustains you. And there's certain things where I'm just like, yeah, like that. It's because words are spells, right? Spelling, spells. So I really appreciate that you provided that example and you're doing that for yourself.
Words create our reality. So choose your words very carefully. Speak with intention with anything. It doesn't even have to be around money. We're just focusing on money because that's a topic of today's episode, but it can be for anything. Like, you know, the way you speak about your body, the way you speak about your relationships, the way you speak about the, you know, men, women, people that you're trying to call in to date. Oh, there's no good ones. Well, then you're going to attract ones that are not good, right? So really just pay attention to how you are speaking about those things in our lives.
Anything else? I loved this episode. I'm so glad that we talked about it. Thanks for being down.
Yeah. We're going to look back at this episode one day when we're millionaires and be like, oh, look at us.
You know,
listen to us.
Our psychic as fuck father did give us some predictions. So.
I asked him when I was going to be Oprah rich, and he laughed at me and said, never. Rude.
Oh, he loves us.
Let me do a shuffle. So today I'm pulling from the Awaken Intuition
Fun
Oracle deck. These cards are so big. They're like too big for my little hands. Balance intuition and practicality. Intuition and practicality are partners. Your practical side as well as your past experiences deserve your attention and respect. By balancing your sixth sense guidance with practicality now, you create a grounded and ideal path forward. How can your intuitive insights be implemented in practical ways? Figure it out. And then let us know. Okay, that's all we got. Let us know. This was like a different episode for us, so let us know if you guys want to hear your broke besties talking more about money until we're millionaires. Let us know. See you guys later.
Bye.